This episode of Current Geek is brought to you by patreon.com/frogpants, where you can help support shows like Current Geek on the Frog Pants Network and keep awesome content coming to your ear holes. That's patreon.com/frogpants.
I have
Current Geek!
Current Geek!
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Current Geek. This is Current Geek, and it is the weekly proceedings of the meetings of the Frog Pants All-Stars, geeks of the world, and you. To keep you current on all things that matter most, I'm Scott Johnson, and that is New York's own Tom Merritt.
I am for the remainder of the next 20 hours, New Yorker. I'm not even going to pretend to be a New Yorker, but I am in New York right now.
Yeah.
Because my wife's out here doing some work, so I was visiting.
How'd it go? You having a good time? Everything's good?
Yeah, I got to see the YouTube Space New York this morning. It's very chic.
I assume it's right in the center of Manhattan kind of thing?
It's not really. No. It's in the Chelsea Market.
Well, that's a place I have no familiarity with, and I'm going to take your word for it. But, man, YouTube is just expanding everywhere. Taking over the world.
Tentacles.
That's right. And testicles. Moving on. Hey, it's a show where we talk about nerd stuff, and what better time than to bring on a couple of nerdy guests? Let's start with an old friend of the program. I feel like I've known Len for most of my adult life. It's weird. It's Len Peralta on the line. Hello, Len.
Hey, how are you doing, Scott?
Good,
how you
man.
Doing, Tom? Good to see you again. You know, ironically, it feels, even though it feels like we've known each other about a decade, which is the actual truth, we've never met in person.
I know. I don't know what's wrong with us. What happened there? Like, I've gone to the wrong alternating podcast expos when you're not there. And right. Then you go to the ones where I'm not there. You go to Dragon Con. I go to BlizzCon.
I think I met Len and Scott at the same conference.
Yeah. 2008. It was the NVIDIA. Yeah.
Yep.
NVIDIA Expo. He got sick and left right before I was able to meet him.
Oh,
and then that's
so
when
sick.
I met Tom.
That was so
crazy.
Sick. That's also where I met Tom. And we'd known. Yeah. So this just, I don't know why it doesn't happen or why you've never been to a Nerdtacular is beyond me. How we got to get you and Nora out there. I don't know what's wrong with us.
I know. I got to figure that out.
It's good to have you here. We'll talk more about some of the cool stuff Len's into a little bit later. Also with us, the artist behind the board game. I wouldn't call it a board game. The card game. The sensation at every conference you ever go to, Munchkin. The artist behind all the little cards you see, Mr. John Kovalik on the line. Hello, John.
How are you?
I'm fine, man. How are you?
I'm just finished up another small Munchkin project, so I'm fine. I'm happy.
That's good. You're the closest to a Russian guest that we've ever had. You know what I mean? Because your name, you got this name that sounds, you know, vaguely Eastern European.
It is. It's Slavic.
Oh, well, there you go. It's the closest to
a Slavic
guest we've ever had.
I have a question for John. How many Munchkin projects have you done this year alone?
Four or five, maybe.
Four or five. Okay.
That's pretty good.
It's been a quiet year. It's been a quiet year.
Well, it's a quiet before the storm,
like
isn't
lot.
It?
I have illustrated over the course of the years, I have illustrated about 5,000 Munchkin cards.
Oh,
good gosh.
Crap.
I have friends who play with all of those cards, by the way, at the same time.
That way lies madness.
And that's just Munchkin. You've done hundreds of other games, dozens of other games.
Something like between games and supplements and all of that sort of thing. I stopped counting once it passed 100.
Yeah.
So
and it should be mentioned, the venerable webcomic Dork Tower, which has been around longer than any of us have been doing anything online. And it's been there for a long time, man. It's awesome. Dork Tower.
Dork Tower has been, I think this is like the 17th year or something now, which, but before that, I was probably one of the first 10 cartoonists to put work up on the internets way back in the, 95-ish.
Oh, good lord.
I have to look that up. My very first, my first, yeah, it was right after. Okay, so when were the first, that wasn't Mozilla. What was the one?
Mosaic.
Mosaic.
Yeah.
Yep. And what had happened was I was working on a card game for Steve Jackson Games called Illuminati New World Order. And the Daily Illuminator is actually the longest running blog, continuously updated blog at the moment.
On the entire internet. Wow.
On the entire internet, yes. That's
crazy.
That's totally crazy.
And I saw that he put up, the Steve Jackson Games put up some of the art from Illuminati, and I was like, well, that doesn't look too difficult. What if I just start putting cartoons up as well?
Yeah.
So,
well, there you go. Cool. So the Illuminati told you to make a comic. I get it. I see where
exactly.
It's going.
It's a great game, by the way.
You said too much, Scott.
I know. I've already said too much. All right. Well, let's jump in with what we like to call a thing where Scott loses his soundboard. Here we go. It's our up-top stuff.
Herbert Hoover, Secretary of Commerce in 1922, finds infant radio facilitates news gathering, as do many others in high public office.
Thomas.
Hey, thanks to Kay Boughton 3, we saw the Variety article that Robert Downey Jr. is on the verge of signing on to Captain America 3. Apparently, Iron Man is going to play a key role in starting off the movie version of the Marvel Civil War storyline. Captain America 3 is slated to begin production in spring of 2015 for a May 6, 2016 release.
Yeah, so that it's come up a bunch on other shows on the network, Comic Dorks, a few people, Steven Schleicher and Scott Kurtz and I have had a bunch of conversations about it on and offline. We've had a lot of discussion about how a Civil War story would even be possible given the fact that Marvel doesn't even have access to its existing character base like Spider-Man and the Fantastic Four.
Although there's that rumor going around that Sony might let them borrow Spider-Man.
Yeah, now so let's talk about that lending idea. That seems crazy. I know there's, you know, crossovers aren't unheard of. I remember being very excited about a Spawn Batman crossover back in like the late 90s, early aughts. And that seemed to work out between Image and DC. And even DC and Marvel have done crossovers and things, but it's strange to think that Marvel would have to finagle a crossover with a character they created.
Yeah.
What do you think, Len? You excited about, I mean, that's a big story, that whole, you know, Civil War storyline.
Yeah. I couldn't believe that was happening. Like, I'm like, how are they going to attack that? It's such a huge storyline. But I'm excited about it. I think it's going to be great. I think this whole battle between DC and Marvel for ground in the comic book world over the next at least decade is a lot of fun to watch. And it's hard to believe here on in the middle of October in 2014 that we will still have an interest in seeing comic book movies into like 2020.
Yeah.
I mean, I was thinking about that this morning and I was like, am I going to want to see these movies? Is it going to be played out in like 3 or 4 years? Is it just going to be like reading a comic? You're so excited to see the next thing.
Well,
I guess it remains to be seen.
It does, but I was just thinking, and John, you can maybe speak to this idea, but 2008, Iron Man 1. That was arguably the moment when we went, okay, comic book movies are sort of back in a bigger way than just Spider-Man every 5 years. This is like a big, big deal. And it kind of ushered in this new era of what Marvel and Disney and everybody were capable of doing. If they truly go, let's say, through 2018 with release after release after release, that is a decade straight of this content. So if you are 12 or if you're a 10-year-old kid, your movie memories are going to encompass basically most of your formative years. You're going to be 20 when we get there. I wonder if that generation is going to be sick of it or not.
Yeah.
You know,
as long as the movies are good.
Yeah.
I mean, if the movie's good, you know, when Guardians of the Galaxy was announced, I was very apathetic about that. And now here I am just itching to get the Blu-ray back. I just really desperately want to rewatch this movie. Yeah. I think it'll be like comic books. You know, the good ones, people will go see. The bad ones, you know, Green Lantern.
Ghost Rider.
Yeah. Ghost Rider beats Green Lantern. That was terrible. Oh, my gosh.
Now, the thing, you know, you think the Civil War, you know, arc is long now. You know, rumor is Peter Jackson's going to direct it and he's going to add 52 more hours to it.
Great. Just what we needed. It's interesting. I just feel the one thing we haven't talked about here is how much Robert Downey Jr. is likely to get for the role. There are rumors that it will be somewhere in the $40 million range to appear in a Captain America movie. And I don't think Chris Evans is getting that kind of cash to play Steve Rogers. All the more reason for those two characters to have their little fight that they're always sort of famous for having. if you really want to take it that far, but I loved Winter Soldier, so I'm super into. Basically, this kind of continues the streak of what I think they're doing with the Captain America movies, which is taking this hero, having it in the modern day, but basically telling us a 1970s era political thriller. And Civil War is basically that, top to bottom. You know,
and aren't they supposedly going to have Civil War inform Avengers 3? I know we haven't even got to Avengers 2 yet.
Yeah, like it would culminate in like all of these. So here's what I think they're going to do. They're going to take all of their little individual movies, including maybe even Ant-Man, or I don't know if these other movies are going to incorporate this stuff or not, but assuming that they'll have their own pieces like comic book issues did during the Civil War run. Even Squirrel Girl had a freaking issue about it. they're going to take those and then they'll lead. This is just a theory, but they'll lead.
And her movie is actually going to come out before Wonder Woman.
Oh, I am all in, man. I am all in for Squirrel Girl.
That's probably true.
But get all the way to the end there and then have whatever the result of all of those things sort of culminate into what the Avengers 3 storyline and arc is. I think that sounds great. I mean, we don't really know what, I mean, we know what 2 is generally, but I'll bet even 2 has hints of this. If they're truly going to take this on, this may represent the next 10 years of Marvel goofing around with a common thread.
Who knows? All the rumors circulating about Guardians of the Galaxy, Avengers crossover, there's that. How are they going to fit into this whole thing? It's fascinating to watch and to think about. Mm-hmm. And that's maybe how they're going to keep it interesting, I guess. But I'm with you, John. I think Guardians of the Galaxy was a huge risk in that it could have gone either way. And they got the right guy. They got the right script. And it is... Guardians of the Galaxy is the kind of movie experience that made me want to go back to the films and go back to the movies again. And I think it is this generation Star Wars.
Well, then what will DC do in response? Tom might have the answer.
Yeah. By the way, I just needed to bring up the words Infinity Gauntlet before we move on. All right.
Oh, yeah.
Warner Brothers has spilled more details on their lineup of DC-based films. Here's the rundown. Suicide Squad will be the next DC movie released after Batman versus Superman in 2016. In 2017, you get a standalone Wonder Woman right after Squirrel, along with a Justice League movie directed by Zack Snyder. In 2018, a Flash movie starring Ezra Miller and Aquaman starring Jason Momoa. And in 2019, Shazam with Dwayne Johnson as Black Adam and Justice League 2. They're already planning on it. And then in 2020, you get a Cyborg movie and you've all been waiting for this, a new Green Lantern.
Oh, finally. Well, at least they waited till 2020 for the Cyborg movie when we'll have actual cyborgs in our life. that's an interesting lineup. The thing that is interesting here, or the thing that people are forgetting, I think, is that the Justice League movie will likely introduce most of these stars, including Jason Momoa as Aquaman, in those stories. So it will not be having to wait till that long to see Aquaman in action. You'll likely see him in action ahead of time, in the same way that, say, Avengers did for Black Widow and, you know, Hawkeye and things like that. As much as everybody wants to be super skeptical about DC and where they're at, I can't help but be excited about all of it.
Yeah.
Zack Snyder's fine. I don't care. The writing may even be terrible, but Batman versus Superman is a thing I've wanted to see since I was a little kid. And that thing they showed at Comic-Con with Batman staring up in the rain in his armor suit with his red eyes and freaking Superman floating just up above Gotham with his red eyes and knowing what's about to go down is freaking rad. And so you just need to make a mediocre movie around that, and I am still willing to give you my $8.50 per seat. It's okay with me. I'm good. And I know a lot of people are like, DC sucked, Marvel all the way, but where do you guys land on this, Len? How do you feel about DC and their plans?
I think it's really exciting. I think it's a bold move by DC to come out and just lay it out.
What Marvel's done?
Yeah, exactly.
No, that's really risky, DC. Nice one.
Yeah. Well,
I guess they're too busy deciding if Wonder Woman would have pants or not. But
my only issue with the whole lineup is they're doing a Flash movie, but they're not having the guy from the Flash TV show play the Flash, which I think is really a mistake. I think why would you create these characters? Why would you create a franchise on television that you aren't going to extend into the movies. I think
again,
it
would be a reversal, right? Because instead of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. spinning out of the Marvel movies, you'd have it go the other way. That's interesting.
Yeah. Well, this is the argument they had back when Smallville was still on and the movie was announced, or they were doing Superman Returns, and Brandon Routh was hired for that, and everybody was pissed that they didn't use the kid from, I forgot his name, it's not really a kid anymore, but the guy from Smallville, Tom Welling.
Yeah,
it feels like that same argument, but I think that one was different because that was very alternate universe Superman anyway. I mean, that was Superman in high school, basically. That wasn't the same as what they're aiming for here. So I kind of agree. That Flash show, from what I've seen so far, and I haven't seen the entire first episode yet, looks rad.
It's great. It's great.
I keep hearing nothing but good things. So if it's as good as everyone's saying it is, then maybe he could build the star power needed to make him a good headliner.
See, that's the problem, right? If you bring him, you have to bring everyone else that the CW was able to get. No offense. Hey. CW does some great stuff, but the level of actor you can get on a CW budget is not the level of actor that you can get on a major Hollywood movie.
Yeah. I'm with you on that, but I think that...
Now you got to start bringing in Green Arrow characters. And everything.
Yeah, I think Arrow could front his own film or at least be in one of these films. I don't see why not. Yeah. I mean, I'm with you on the CW.
As a fan, I agree with you. But if I'm a Hollywood producer, I'm like, oh, no, you're not giving me a team. Well, maybe I should. Maybe I'd be like, can I get him cheap? All right.
Well, that to me says that DC is a little bit tone deaf in that they're not really, I mean, they're not Marvel. They're not doing what Marvel is doing. And that's sort of a little thing that
they want to seem to be doing this without paying their dues. I've said this before. They want to hurry it. They want to get to that finish line a lot quicker. And Marvel went through this period of near bankruptcy, then doing okay, and then doing okay enough to be interesting to buy for somebody like, you know, Disney, and then knocking it out of the park, and then very smartly adapting comic book thinking to movie making, and that made these better movies, tied them all together, created all this synergy. But they're facing a similar problem coming up. There's going to come a day, Robert Downey Jr., who's 50 this year, is not going to do this forever. I'm not saying you can't do it past 50. I'm just saying at some point, he's not going to be able to do it forever. There are also SAG rules that keep him from doing like 10 of these or whatever the rules are. I thought it was 3, but apparently 4th is in the works. And then whatever he's doing with Captain America. So I feel like they're facing some resets as well. So if they're still making Avengers movies in 2018, because, 2020,
the comic book industry has never rebooted anything ever.
It's true, but then
it's new to them all.
Do they follow the same tropes? Do they do some killing offs and then resets, starting over with a new cast? Like, I'm very curious about all of that. I'm not skeptical about any of it. I'm not even negative about it. I'm curious about how they handle it, because up till now, that's a tricky piece of business.
I think the Batman movies up to, I mean, the ones, you know, the 80s and onwards, I mean, they, you know, some of those were pretty awful movies, but they actually handled having different characters playing Batman relatively well. I was, you know, there are very few points where I was going, oh, I wish George Clooney would do more of these, but, you know, it's, I think essentially, to me, it's just like a new writer-artist team coming on a book. You know, the flavor is going to change. There'll be, you know, but if it's a good movie, it's going to stand on its own merits.
Yeah. Well, time will tell.
All right, let's shift gears into what we can watch on the internet with our video. Hobbit from PA let us know HBO told investors in 2015, we will launch a standalone over-the-top HBO service in the United States. We will work with our current partners and we will explore models with new partners. In related news, CBS started selling a web-only access plan to their content for $6 a month starting this week. Whoa. You can already get it.
Whoa, that's insane. So hold on a second, though. We still don't know what HBO wants to charge, and I still am placing a bet.
The rumor that the information website put out today was $15 a month, but that's their sources. HBO has only said, we intend to do this. They haven't given us any details.
Sure. Okay, so let's say that's correct. That's a price I'm willing to pay. That's more than it costs when you have it bundled with cable. But it's not the 20 I'm predicting. I think $19.99. I hope I'm wrong, but I feel like they're going to do that. Tom's talked a lot, and I agree with him about subsidization of advertising, and the cable companies do that for HBO. They're not going to have that option in this case. I mean, even with the partner work, it's going to be different. So another $5 or $10 probably going to happen so that you can get this outside the ecosystem. But one way or the other, finally, maybe nerds can get their Game of Thrones action without... Well, here's the big question. Let's say all you go to HBO for is Game of Thrones because you know winter's coming and all that. That's the only reason you go is $15 is $15 too much of money
$15
to spend on just this channel. Len, would you pay 15 bones a month just to get that? Or are you going to have to want to make sure you're enjoying the entire library?
You know, I am. I'm just getting old and I'm tired of being done with my workday and then trying to figure out, well, where can I watch this? Where is this? Where, who's this? I'm just, I too much already. We got to stop. And, you know, I'm probably the worst person because I have all these options. I have so many options and yet I don't take any of them. I end up watching the same shows on cable. Hey, Divers, Drives and Dives is on. I'll just put that on in the back while I fall asleep. That's the thing. It's like,
Wait. So you've given up all this quality. We are in a golden age of television for Guy Fieri.
I know.
Okay, I'm just making sure I heard that right.
I know. Well, it's not always my fault. Sometimes Nora doesn't want to watch the Flash or Gotham or something like that. Mm. So I'm sort of at the mercy. But regardless, you know, I took a big step this summer by subscribing to Hulu. And I was like, well, do I really need Hulu? I mean, I'm getting all these other things. Do I need, okay, I'll take Hulu too. Oh yeah, Netflix. I'm just like, and then I have HBO and I have cable. I just have so many options and I don't have any time to watch any of it.
This is the most Jawbone Radio of any episode I've been on with you that isn't Jawbone Radio. This is fantastic. Because listening to you, in fact, when your word said, you know, I'm getting old and I was afraid you were going to say, I don't know who I am or where I am right now. What is this? But I'm glad you went on to explain. I mean, I don't know. There's so many choices. John, do you feel overwhelmed with like, you know, where do I watch it?
Yeah, honestly, I just don't have the time. Daughter is 5 years old. I've got all these projects going on, my own stuff. There are books I want to be writing. And I don't want to sound like, oh, my God, I'm so hip. I'm too cool for television. There's a lot of television I would love to watch on or off the television. And I like the idea of, you know, if I were a big HBO fan, of just being able to buy it separately and watch it someplace, you know, on a mobile device, whatever. That's really appealing. For me, HBO, you know, I quit HBO when I realized – that for the one or two shows I was watching, I could just wait for the DVDs or Blu-rays to come out and, you know, save a couple $100 a year. Yeah.
That's a good point.
I like the idea. I like the idea in general. If it was the right, if it was Food Network now, man, I'm there. No.
The Guy Fieri channel?
God, the Guy Fieri. By the way, do you know Guy Fieri, Diners, Dive-Ins, and Drives, no shot in that lasts longer than 3 seconds, no cut.
Oh, no. It's
most of them, yeah. Most of them are between 1 and 2 seconds.
Yeah, they're all.
You can have an entire network of just Guy Fieri eating things.
It all has to be really quick, though. You're right. That editing in there is crazy.
That is what's interesting about these stories is that HBO is going to do this. That's the one everybody's been hoping would do it. And it's the more logical one because they're a separately sold service anyway. It's just been limited to cable. But CBS doing it too, suddenly then the folks at HGTV and Food and all of those networks are saying, well, maybe we should package up, right? You know, because I believe it's Scripps that still owns those. Mm-hmm. So if suddenly like, hey, for $6 a month, you get Food Network and HGTV and DIY and all of that.
I think everything should just go on Netflix. You know what I mean? Like they should just binge watch, just put the whole season on Netflix.
Netflix
at
agrees
once.
With you.
Netflix totally agrees with you.
I would be for that because there are more times that I just sit and I'm like, oh, good. I can binge watch. What's that one Food Network show? The other Alton, like it's.
Eats and.
It's like Chopped. It's like Chopped.
Whatever it is.
With sure. Alton Brown. But they sabotage one another. It's like that's all on Netflix.
Cutthroat
I'll be like,
Kitchen.
Cutthroat Kitchen. I'll just sit there and put that on and fall asleep. Watch.
By the way, my total geek out moment was when I discovered that Alton Brown has bought one of my Little Cthulhu vinyl toys.
Oh no way! Dude.
So great!
Oh my God!
That's awesome. That's so cool. For me, is when I found out that Deadmau5 listens to my Diablo show. That freaked me out real good.
That's so cool.
But
for me, it was when John Kovalik and Len Peralta came on Currency.
I know, right? I'm blown away. Tom, let me throw this at you real quick before we move on. This last question about this that it just occurred to me now, and I don't know why I haven't thought of it before. Do you think there's any chance that they will have some kind of big, get the whole thing for 15 or 20 a month? I think that's a given. But do you think they'll also maybe say, for those of you who just want Game of Thrones this season, you can buy a season of Game of Thrones for, you know, $50 or something. Or
not a chance. I'm for that.
You don't think
not
so?
Not a chance. Mm. No way. Yeah. They want your subscription. In fact, this is a leverage play to get the better terms from the cable companies. And I have a feeling that this HBO service is going to be sold ISP by ISP so that they can cut a little change into the ISPs and get them on board.
Mm. So Comcast, they'd strike a deal with Comcast, strike a deal with Fios or Verizon or whatever. Yeah, I don't like any of that. But I mean, what Len wants is cable. He just wants it on Netflix. And ultimately, I think that's all we're going to ever really want in the future. The problem with choices right now isn't that so much that there's so many things to watch. It's so many places trying to get you to watch what they have. And the idea of a centralized thing that Len is asking for is arguably cable. You know, like you're asking for cable again, except cable sucks for a lot of other reasons. Netflix's model is great. But I'm kind of with you as much as I like this idea that we're a ragtag bunch of rebels getting away from the machine and doing this cord cutting and everything. In the end, aren't we? I mean, we're kind of circling back to ultimately what people want, which is a one place, get what I want sort of solution. Mm-hmm.
And so, it's not here yet, unfortunately.
Yeah, not here.
It won't be. Things got to shake out, but I bet that's where it ends up in the end, actually.
Yeah.
Real quickly, remember the Star Wars Uncut, where fans put together the entire Star Wars movie reenacted in small chunks by different groups? Well, Iceworm 1980 let us know the sequel is here. The Empire Strikes Back, uncut. If you liked Star Wars Uncut, you're going to like this. It's the same goofy fun.
It's pretty good. Also, I've noticed an uptick in all things Star Wars lately, and I know this is I shouldn't be surprised. This is the way it works leading up to a new movie, but it's so weirdly subversive because there's so much more web stuff happening. So that's just happening on its own, whether or not Lucas has anything to do with it, Lucasfilm or Disney or anybody else. It's just stuff's cropping up. But I'm at the mall the other day, and I'm walking by I think a Payless or a Foot Locker. I don't even know what. Everything's Star Wars in there. There's a huge Darth Vader stand-up holding a couple of black shoes with his visage on it. It's intense. It's super intense.
Except birthday party. There was no Star Wars birthday party stuff. My 5-year-old daughter is crazy for Star Wars. All the kids in her class like Star Wars. She was curious. We went to Disney World. A Star Tours ride blew her mind. Ever since then, it's been total Star Wars. She will correct me on my pronunciation of major characters. But there is, oh my God, I've been searching, scouring the country to still find places that have got some Star Wars Lego plates. And, apparently these were once made for birthday parties. And so there it's, now the other thing is they've got the new Star Wars Rebels show. Which is actually I like. I mean, it's aimed for kids, but Louisa loves it and it's a lot of fun. But oh my gosh, with all the Star Wars stuff coming out, give us poor parents some birthday paraphernalia.
It's coming
next year.
It's coming. I think you're going to see.
Maybe they have them on eBay, but then they're going to charge you $1,000 for a thing of napkins because they're collectibles.
It is funny though, because in a world where we're all looking forward to Star Wars, there's no shortage of things to find for Star Wars, and it's bigger than ever. It used to be that the only stuff you could get was what Kenner was putting in stores, or what LucasArts would farm out to McDonald's or whoever they made deals with. But now. Fan films and 1,000 YouTube channels dedicated to all things Star Wars and remixes and remashes. It's a weird, this is the part I didn't foresee when Star Wars made a comeback was all of this new stuff,
It was not foretold to you?
No, it wasn't. My midichlorian count is too low, Tom. Too low.
It's definitely on the charts, your midichlorian count. It is on the charts.
Here's the chart of my midichlorian count right here. You can see it's very easy to graph.
Yeah, very nice.
But the thing is, with basic, but it's kind of like at the point where Frozen was last year. I think people, those in charge, have miscalculated how popular it would be so quickly with all this new stuff. Last year, there was nothing for Frozen you could get. I mean, I as the daughter of a then 4-year-old girl, trust me on this, Frozen stuff was very hard to come by. Now, looking for Star Wars stuff, going to Toys R Us just the other day, trying to find anything to decorate this cake with,
It's all buried in Frozen stuff now. There's Frozen stuff on top of all the Star Wars stuff.
And Luis is still a fan of Frozen. And I was like, okay, this will be easy. She wants Frozen and Star Wars. We'll make it Hoth. And problem solved. Yeah. But most of the Star Wars actual toys out there are still Lego Star Wars for the entire Star Wars. But there were no action figures in Toys R Us or most of the major in Target. There's just a real, and I only know this because, like I said, I've been really desperately searching for things for the past few weeks.
Funny, around my house, I'm walking around my house and there was a Plo Koon action figure on the floor next to an older version of Chewbacca. Like, for some reason, my kids have taken out their Star Wars figures and started playing them again. So, like, I'm starting to see, like, all these strange characters all around my house. At Toys R Us, I think they have a Star Wars section there, John.
It is almost entirely Lego. I was just there. They've got some of the things. They're starting to come out with some Star Wars Rebels toys. But, you know, action figures, I mean, at least the one in Madison, because Madison, Wisconsin is the center of the universe, it was probably 30-40% the Lego properties. And the rest of it, there are some, again, they've got some of the new giant figures of the Star Wars Rebels.
At the Toys R Us here, they've got old school they look like old Kenner figures, but there's like a couple pegs of them. But you know, it's like Darth Vader and stuff like that. They're trying to do retro.
Holding off. They don't want to burn people out on this stuff because when the movie actually hits, they want to flood.
Everybody's going to want it. Yeah, everybody's going to want it.
It's going to be interesting. I suspect we will all have not enough money when it comes.
But you know what? That means we have money right now for cat ear headphones.
Yay!
Oh, great. Excellent. Oh,
Tom, you know, I knew tonight would be a good show, but I didn't realize you were going to actually save me. Tell me more.
Oh, yeah. Captain Kipper felt compelled to alert us to cat ear headphones. And the folks who voted on the subreddit seem to agree it's very important. So if you didn't vote, you can't complain. Accent Wear is an Indiegogo project founded by recent University of California Berkeley graduates Wenqing Yang and Victoria Hu to create glowing LED cat ear headphones. They glow on the part over your ears, they glow on the little cat ears, and the cat ears can operate as speakers.
Wow.
You know, my birthday's coming up in 2 weeks, guys.
Okay, all right. Because I was just thinking, what can I get Len for his birthday?
I'm mostly relieved because when I first read that, I read it as cat hair headphones. Oh.
No, that would be bad, I think.
That Indiegogo did not succeed.
Well, don't worry. No cats are harmed. They just cough them up in ball form, and we just dissect them from there and make your earbuds. It's fine. It's not a problem.
Now, in some lighter news, Theater Monkey wanted us to know that an unusual signal detected by the European Space Agency's XMM Newton Observatory could be the first sign of dark matter.
Whoa.
Dark matter is thought to make up 85% of the universe because we see effects from matter that we can't see, and so they call it dark matter. Observers noticed the intensity of X-rays rises about 10% whenever observing the boundary of Earth's magnetic field that faces toward the sun. And so the only explanation that fits the facts so far is that dark matter axions are streaming from the heart of the sun and we're detecting them, which would be a huge deal if they can confirm this.
Wow. Yeah.
It would also be a Yes song from 1975.
Axion.
Dark matter.
That sounds about right. So I don't know what to say about this, except I'm intensely fascinated by space stuff that we can't figure out. And I'm always like, well, if we figure that out, what fun is that? Because then what's left? I'm sure there's plenty more. But you know what I mean? I love the mysteries of what is that blotch? Well, 10 years later, we built a telescope and that blotch, it turns out, is a habitable solar system with its own sun, and looks like that planet third one in is probably got life on it. Ooh, cool. Well, 10 years later, we've got a better one that shows, I don't know, a ship on it or whatever. Like, I love this. Some guy doing his grass, whatever. I love this idea that these mysteries get uncovered, but part of the fun is like dark matter is weird and nobody knows. So I guess this is it, man. The beginning of the end.
Well, I think dark matter is fake. Because remember when they're like, we don't know how light propagates. We'll make up something called
a matter truther.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a dark matter truther. Exactly. I got in a fight with Dr. Kiki about this once because I overstate it. But I'm like, I don't think dark matter is going to end up being what everyone thinks it is. Right now, it feels like they're just like, we don't know what it is. We'll just call it dark matter. Mm. And Dr. Kiki very sensibly is like, yeah, but if once they find out what is causing this 85% of missing matter, then that will be what dark matter is. And I guess that's what we figured out with light. Relativity was discovered and like, oh, it's not the ether. It's actually relativity. So this could be the first step towards discovering what that is.
Well, your new rap name when you go into your rap career that I know you're heading toward is Dark Matter Truther. That's going to be
mine is going to be really dark matter.
Yeah, really dark matter. See?
Show me the dark matter birth certificate, yeah. Scott.
RDM for short. Finally, tell us about this Apple Pay business and what happened.
Oh, boy. Okay, yeah. So Apple had an announcement. They announced they took way too long, is what they said on their invite. They took way too long to tell us the following. Apple Pay will launch Monday. So if you have an iPhone 6 or 6 Plus, you'll be able to start using it. You'll also be able to get iOS 8.1, which will make Apple Pay work. Yosemite, the newest version of OS 10, is now out. You can download it for free if you're an OS 10 user of the past couple versions of the operating system. iPad Air 2 is available for pre-orders now. It's thin and pretty. And the iPad Mini 3 is also available for pre-orders. Both of those have Touch ID now, the little fingerprint sensor thing. They announced a new iMac with Retina display.
That thing's beautiful.
5K resolution, not beautiful. 4K. 5K.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful.
And a new spec bump on the Mac Mini. It gets a faster processor, 2 Thunderbolt ports, terabyte hard drive option, hybrid drive option, and they dropped the price of that $100.
That's pretty good.
I'm not saying my iPhone is old, but it actually has inappropriate touch technology.
Oh, wonderful. Then it is old. It's super old and hot.
Show me on your iPhone where
where the cartoonist touched you. Great. all those things are very exciting to me, except for the iPad Mini 3, because it's the same processor as last year. It's the same size, same thickness. It doesn't have the new...
it has Touch ID.
Yeah, but that's not enough for an extra 100 bones or whatever it is. And then there's a gold one, I guess. That's disappointing to me. That thing seems like not only is it just kind of a no-brainer, don't need it if you already have an iPad Mini 2 with Retina, it also just seems kind of like a big ripoff. Like, I feel like that's a yank. Like, if you're not interested in the larger iPad, this is the year to skip because that Mini really doesn't hold for anything for you unless you get like a discounted version of the existing 2. It's the same chip. I mean, literally the difference will be whether you wanted it in gold and who cares. And if you want the Touch ID, if that's worth another $100 for you, I guess get that. But I don't know how it would be. Really weird to me. Anyway, Apple, and I guess Apple Pay is part of that, right?
I think this is one of the least historic Apple announcements in the past 10 years.
Yeah. I mean, the one with the 6 was a big deal. I think a Retina iMac is amazing.
Like, that's pretty cool. Do you work on an iMac?
I have. So I work on a Mac Pro Tower and an iMac over here. The iMac's like my all drawing stuff. It's about to become a lot more than that. It's a long story. But
what'd you do with the tower? Seriously. I mean, I'm finding for my work. I mean, I used to have towers all the time for my work. And then, you know, I switched to your laptops, and now I'm going back to a, you know, main machine, but it's like, oh my God, the towers are just so powerful. As a cartoonist, it's like driving a Ferrari and keeping it in first gear.
Yeah, a little bit. It's a little overkill. I'm doing a lot of video editing now, so it helps to have something like that, but mine's old. I bought this tower in like early 08, late 07, and it's lasted forever, and it's my podcasting core, and all this stuff works on it.
Okay.
But this weekend might be the weekend it all gets changed. We'll see. But yeah, I mean, I'm all about, you know, hot new displays, and that thing looks fast and relatively inexpensive for what you're getting. You'd expect to pay $2,500 for just a display. Forget about the computer in there. So yeah, I was impressed by that, but I think Tom's right. Just kind of not that big a deal.
I don't get me wrong. I'm not hating on Apple. These were fine announcements, sure, you know? Sure. Like, these are the iPad Air 2 is thin. It's a nice machine. If you haven't got an iPad, this is definitely the best one you can get. And the 5K iMac screen looks great. Yeah. But none of these are the sort of, like, we needed to take 82 minutes to tell you about. They could have put a press release
well,
on
that.
And also having you two going around knocking on everybody's door telling them was just overkill. That was ridiculous. That was ridiculous. Yeah. I'm still trying to get the edge out of my living room.
Especially when he picked the lock.
Such a weird thing.
Throw a baggie of pot.
Right?
Go right after.
Yeah. Is U2 known for their pot consumption? I'm not even sure about
that. No, no, no. The bassist was. I'm sorry. It was the bassist, right. Not the edge.
All right. There you go. No, the edge is just known for hats and whatever alien thing he's hiding under that thing.
Don't align the edge.
Yes. Keep your edges all in straight and row, because now it's time for this thing.
America scores and wins.
Oh, looky here. My favorite part of the show. It's where we get to test the individuals who come on here and brave being guests. And we do that with a pop quiz of 8 or so questions each. They are in areas of your interest. You have not been shown these questions. If you get answers correctly, you get... If you get them wrong, you get... And Tom keeps score. Usually has a gavel. Doesn't have that now.
Are we battling one another, or is, am I battling against John? Or
you go by yourselves. One, you had a set of questions each, so do not worry about that.
All right.
Let's start with Len Peralta. Why not?
Sure.
Len, here is your trivia. It's Geek a Week trivia. Your own project. This is to test you to see how much you remember about all the stuff you've done.
Okay.
So
this is how we know you weren't on the show before, actually. Iceworm said, I've never written him questions.
Oh, yeah, good point. Good point. All right, here's your questions, and they begin with this. Scott Johnson recently, I know that guy, recently finally had a card. As Tychus Finley would say, hell, it's about time. What is the recorded words per week stat for Scott, according to his card?
Oh, it's in the 20,000 numbers, right around there, 20,000, 23,000?
29,453,
but... Ooh, and you lose 6,000 points for being that far off.
I knew it was in the 20s, but to be fair, those are written by Storm DeCostanza.
Right? So. Oh, I didn't know that Storm does those?
Yes, he does.
Well, that's a hoot.
You lose another 1,000 for trying to throw Storm under the bus. Yeah.
Seriously.
Oh, I love Storm.
I just lay them out. He writes them.
Storm's the best. All right, next up. Homies of the network, Brian Brushwood and Justin Robert Young, have a card as well. Fill in the blank on their card. Quote, comedians, podcasters, blank.
Comedians, was this on the front of the thing?
This is on the back, I think. He doesn't specify. It's on their card somewhere.
Comedians, podcasters,
and then blank.
Meth users. I drew them as Breaking Bad.
I like their answer better, but it is the ones who knock.
Oh, the ones who knock!
Yeah.
That is right! What the hell is wrong with me?
All right, I'm gonna
hey,
give you
I've
back...
done over 100 of these, by the
I'm
way.
I'm going to give you back 1,000 points for humility.
Good job. Good job. See,
the ones who knock, I wrote that!
Yeah, you wrote it, dude. Tom is... See, I told you Tom scores this thing in a strange way. You just earned a bunch of points for getting it wrong.
Good.
It's weird.
Good, good, good.
All right, next one. What is the snark strength of the double clicks according to their card?
Ooh.
They were great at Nerdtacular, by the way. Incredible performance.
They were. They're
I don't remember. I'm going to say 50%.
You're going to say, okay. The answer is 10. The answer is 10.
Oh my gosh. What?
By the way, that is one of my favorite cards. I think that painting you did of them was phenomenal.
Oh, it's dead on.
Thank you.
The likeness and the vibe of it, it's just totally them. Yeah, it was really good.
John gets 1,000 points for being nice to Len.
Oh, you just helped.
I'm failing at my own project.
That's right. Next up, on her, on her card, Sarah Lane has a weekly research hours stat of what?
Sarah Lane.
I'll tell you, it's in hours. Well, I guess I said that already. Weekly research hours.
35.
Ooh. Tom, you have to help me with this one. It's 35.9, correct or false?
Oh, yeah. No, he gets that.
All right.
Yes!
That's pretty
I
good.
Got it!
It's only worth 1 point, though.
No, yeah, don't get too excited. Easy there, big guy. All right, next up. What character was Chris Metzen drawn for as his Legends of Video Games card?
He was drawn as Hellboy.
You are correct. That is absolutely correct. Chris is the nicest human being on Earth, by the way.
He is great.
Yeah. I interviewed him a couple of weeks ago, and when you talked to him, you were reminded that he is just the sweetest, most famous video game man ever. Next question. On their 2011 card, who were Gabe and Tycho from Penny Arcade drawn as?
Wow, they were Han Solo and Chewbacca.
You are correct. Nicely done.
You get 2 points for that because you had to answer 2 questions in one.
Good one.
There you go. Thank you so much.
What is the very first card shown on the Geek a Week website?
It's random.
It says Jonathan Colton, but is it possible he just saw the first random one?
Yeah, it's random. It's
nice
a random
swarm. That's funny. All right, so Brunt,
all right, you're getting 1,000 points correct for that.
All right,
yeah.
1,000 points.
It randomly generates one.
And it looked right to me because I thought, oh yeah, Jonathan Colton. I could see that.
Colton is the first card I ever drew. Yeah. But it's yeah, it's
that
random,
random on the page. That makes sense. All right, final question. Where are the Gavel McLeod and Iceworm cards? This is a terrible one.
They're coming soon, hopefully.
All right. That probably works. His answer was nowhere but, because the universe would explode if we exposed them.
2,000 points for that one. Yeah,
that's pretty good. I can tell you when the John Kovalik card will be coming out.
Oh, when's this?
O-R-L-Y.
This is coming out next week.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, John Kovalik is the Geek of Week for next week. I'm so excited.
I love mine. I got to tell you what my daughter said. So I have this daughter who loves this stuff. And she said, oh, my gosh, let me see. And I showed it to her. And I said, yeah, Lynn did it. Isn't it great? And we read the back. And she goes, it's awesome. How come you look like you're taking a poop? She said.
That is an actual photograph of you.
Yeah, Steve. I said he based it on this old Twitter avatar of mine, and I showed it to her. She's like, oh. So then she says, well, then why does it look like you're trying to poop in this photo? So you captured it exactly. All right.
But extra 1,000 points for putting a Kovalik card out next
nice.
Week.
Yay. It's nicely done.
It looks great.
It's deserved. John, your turn. You ready for this?
I don't think I could possibly ever be, but okay. All right,
dig deep into your Slavic trivia roots and answer these questions. This is Munchkin trivia, all right? This thing that you do so much of. So here you go. In what year was Munchkin first released?
Come on, John.
22.
You are incorrect. 2001.
Oh.
Is the correct answer, but you were so close. 1 year. Difference. Tom, anything? No? Okay, we're good.
No, just no points.
All right. In 2007, what percentage of sales for Steve Jackson games were from Munchkin?
2007, 75%.
You are so close. 70%, but very close.
Oh, that was
going to give it to him. That's close.
Give it to him.
That's close enough, yeah. That's pretty close.
That's within the plus or minus.
What was the first expansion set for Munchkin? What was it called?
The first... did you mean the first new core game or the first actual expansion? The first actual expansion was Unnatural X.
Oh, that's the one he's asking, and you are correct. Okay. Nicely done.
Point scored.
This is number five. Fill in the blank for the tagline for Munchkin, kill the monsters, steal the treasure, blank. Or I should
stab
say,
your buddy.
There you go. You got it. Nailed it. Hold on. We hit the thing. There we go. Stab your buddy. Nice job. What class of players start off as... What? That doesn't make sense what you wrote here. What class of players start off as? There's no, you got to finish that sentence, Iceworm.
Players start off with no class.
You are absolutely.
They're humans with no class.
Nicely job. It says every player starts as a level one human with no class.
Double points for difficulty.
Yeah, good job. Also, that was weird. In the original Fantasy Munchkin, what is the name of the third expansion in the original Fantasy Munchkin? Third expansion.
Okay, so third expansion would be Munchkin 4, and that is... I should know this. I should know this. Shut up.
I like that you're telling yourself to shut up. Shut up, self. Shut up.
Steed, what the hell? that one introduced rangers and mounts, and it's got a picture of a ranger riding oddly a submarine sandwich, and it's I'm blanking.
It is not I'm blanking. It is Clerical Errors. Clerical Errors.
No, that's the third expansion.
Yeah, that's what he said. Didn't
Clerical Errors. You said fourth.
Didn't I say third?
Well,
I
said no, third. You said third, and you said that would make it Munchkin 4.
Oh, right. You took and changed. You made your mind go down in the wrong pipe.
Yep.
It's a series of tubes. All right, next up.
I'm going to give you a point for effort.
You should give him another point for actually making...
No. Clerical Errors is the second Munchkin expansion.
Oh, is it?
Okay.
Yeah, it went Munchkin, Unnatural X, Clerical Errors.
Well, then you're getting five.
Does no one else see the irony here that this is all a clerical error? This whole thing is a clerical error.
Scott gets 20 points.
But it wasn't even me.
I'm looking this up right now, but
that's a riot. All right. Anyway, second to last question. What was the first non-fantasy version of Munchkin ever released? I own this one.
Star Munchkin.
You are correct. Nicely done. Finally, how many door cards are included in the original Munchkin game?
Oh, that.
That old sticky wicket.
I'm never going to get this, so I'm just going to say door 72.
94 is the correct answer.
You're close.
That's the year after Jurassic Park came out. All right, that's how I tell time. How long has it been since Jurassic Park? You did well, and I think Tom now has the opportunity to take your scores, add them up, and see who won. Tom, how'd they do?
Yep, here are the final totals. Len Peralta, negative 996.
Yes!
John Kovalik, 1,012.
Yes! Yay! This is the biggest spread. We never had a spread like this.
He gets a Geek Week card. That's what he wins.
Wow.
Woohoo!
Congratulations.
Could you make that next week, Len? That would be really convenient for me.
Not only will they make it next week, but there'll also be a podcast and a speed drawing video of it, John.
Whoa.
That would be so gracious. Awesome.
Jeez, why don't you just lavish us all with gifts tonight? there you go. Let's
By the way, quick Munchkin trivia. Yeah. I have only ever in my life won one game of Munchkin.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. Really?
People gang up on me because they believe that because I drew the cards, I know how to play. So I get beat up early and often every game.
We should have you come to N15 and get worked by all the people playing Munchkin. All right. Well, there's that. Now it's this.
The future promises even more startling things to come.
Why, look here, everybody. It's Forecast. It used to be a show. It's now a segment. And Len had this great prediction about the future of these states united, and that would be this: there will be an American Vocaloid pop star within the next 5 years. So this is like that thing, that deal they had on the Letterman not long ago,
right? It was last week,
as discussed on the most recent Jawbone Radio.
Right.
It was 2 weeks ago. Hatsune Maki, or Maku,
I think
she's what is known as a Vocaloid, which is it's software basically that sings. But they've added an anime character to her that can dance and sing, sort of in the same technology that they brought Tupac Shakur to life a few years ago.
Yeah, they put it's kind of like a weird looking holographic kind of image. It has a very 3D quality to it. It looks like it's on stage if you light it right and all that. And it has a huge following. People are really into that thing.
It's huge. It's enormous, and it's essentially it's just Japanese. It's just the Japanese culture that has this Vocaloid. But my prediction is that within the next 5 years, America will try to answer back with their own Vocaloid pop star.
So here's my question. I'm going to see if I can find that song.
I was going to say, don't we already have Justin Bieber? But he's Canadian, right?
Tupac.
How do you spell her name?
Yeah, but I mean, I'm talking about someone who actually has that actually charts. You know what I mean? Like,
Tupac that charted.
Archie's.
But he wasn't real. I'm saying ongoing. You know what I mean? Like, you know, sort of like in the vein of this anime.
Right. There was never an actual Hatsune Miku person.
Correct. Exactly.
Right. It's pure software. I'm trying to find her track and I can't find it. But she sounds like. Well, she definitely sounds like a robot.
So the software is writing the music.
But a software sings it.
John, honestly, it's nothing more. I mean, if you really want to boil this down, it's a nice projection technology and it's a nice syncing technology. And the voice, it does cool vocalization stuff with, like, you know, it can kind of improvise. It sounds like it anyway, like it's improvising, but it's not really. It's really just it's really just projected and fake. I mean, there's nothing about this that makes me go.
She's had a long career, though, Scott. I mean, we were talking about her back on Buzz Out Loud in like 2009, 2008.
Yeah, it's Ohatsumi, not Matsumi. I always get that wrong. All right, I'm gonna
Hatsune Maku.
I'm gonna play just a teeny bit from
Miku.
Yeah, a teeny bit from one of their songs, just so you can hear it. This is the one from Letterman, and just so people who haven't heard this can just see what we're talking about. Here we go. All right, super annoying. But anyway, the point is, John.
It sounds like a video game.
So, Len, if you're right, tell me what kind of style we're going to get. Is it going to be poppy like this? Is it going to be all pie pitchy and make the dogs howl, or it'll be something a little more?
Don't they let crowdsource some of her music too?
Yes.
Oh, I don't know.
Yes, that's the thing. The software, anybody can write a song for her and release it and actually make money. She's open source. Which
so
I find,
when the software gets updated, is that like when Madonna would go through a new phase?
That's the thing. That is.
Now she's in the leather period.
I watched this video on Polygon, and apparently that's one of the appeals of hers, that she never ages. She always stays 16 years old. Yeah. And there isn't this worry that she's...
That's not creepy at all in the slightest. No.
Well, I know. That was
since 2007, she's been...
But I guess the Polygon piece was talking about how she will not be self-destructive as she gets older, as many of these other pop stars get.
So she won't go the way of Bieber and get arrested for throwing eggs at neighbors and junk like that.
Exactly.
Because she isn't real. Right.
Right. And,
she'll get arrested for malware.
But see, that's what would be... Okay, back this truck up. This is what would be fun. Is you create an American... Let's make our American version of this. I don't care what the genre is, but let's say whatever it is, she's singing it. You want to artificially create all the trouble that you go through. I want to see that, like, 18-year-old fake holographic so-and-so caught today streaking across a whatever. Like, I want it to go bad.
You want to have a backstory, right? You want to know what she's up to.
Sure. That's the fun of this. Otherwise, it's just a thing you turn off and on, you know?
Maybe the backstory is that she's just a Vocaloid. She has no backstory.
That's a really boring backstory.
Yeah,
man.
That's a terrible backstory. John, what were you going to say? A backstory
for a created band has got to fall somewhere between the Archies and Gorillaz.
Okay.
Strawberry yogurt.
See, at least Gorillaz, which is one dude, is awesome because there's these other... It really did feel like when you saw one of those videos, you're like, ooh, these are animated versions of, like, dudes. Like, these are people with lives, and you really kind of bought into it. This thing, I would need to have some of that. Like, I want to see her turning a table over at a Subway or something, just to be a freak because she's mad and feeling like
posing nude somewhere.
Yeah,
right?
Or with
the Archies. I mean, now what? You know, Archie's getting shot. He's going up against Predator, and so you know, this gives Sugar a whole new twist.
Did you say that Archie was going to fight the Predator?
Yes.
This is true.
It's not a joke.
No, this is absolutely true. Well, you could still maybe quantify it as a joke, but they're taking it seriously.
That's crazy.
Yeah. They did that Undead one last year, and it was really good. Like, actually quite the good comic series. It's like three issues, and it was the zombie plague came to that hometown, and Jughead was the first one to die, and it was awesome. It was really well
because,
done. Yeah, I know.
Stop
Jughead, right?
People, Jughead.
I think we should have a new Vocaloid star and then start a beef with Hatsune.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be something.
See, that's
what
I'm saying.
Something?
Like, why not get creative with it and go full, you know,
like East
fight
Coast,
back?
West Coast.
I wonder if she would fight back. She doesn't. Maybe it's not in her DNA or her.
And
you know,
Tupac will get involved.
holographic Tupac. Let's keep that.
Get him in there somehow.
Yeah, somehow, some way. And then there was somebody else who was on stage recently. They did this with an old dead performer.
Didn't they do Elvis?
Elvis maybe, or was it Michael Jackson? Maybe
they've done.
Oh,
it
might have been Michael Jackson.
Right. I remember hearing about that. They have a whole sub story and like Fred Astaire.
We are the world now, just with Vocaloids.
Yeah, and you can have Fred Astaire beat her to death with a Hoover vacuum. You remember that when he was...
I worked for the agency that did that spot.
Really?
I swear to God, I worked for that agency.
No kidding.
I just keep hearing the word Vocaloid, and somewhere Lloyd Cole and the Commotions are going, it's our chance again.
See? Time to come back and make a big return.
Return!
That's a very fun future that Len has laid out for us, so I'm all for
Thank you, dude.
It's a good forecast. Well, we appreciate it. All right, let's do this feedback time.
In case you missed a look at one of the best-dressed beauties of the early 20s, here's another look at her. Had enough?
Yes, I've had enough. So let's talk about Len's new project, this new comic book that is pretty awesome. And a lot of people can go, everyone can go check out the first, six pages, five pages, is it?
First five pages plus the cover.
Yeah. Tell us about it. It looks awesome.
Yeah, I announced that you can download that at on Tom's Daily Tech News show this afternoon. But yeah, essentially what it is I have collaborated with some incredible people. Mikey Newman, who is from Gearbox Software, who is also the creator writer of Borderlands, and Chris Straub from Brood Hollow, and an incredible colorist here locally in Cleveland named Tim Swetalski, did the colors on this book. And we've created a book called Exterminite, which is the story of a gentleman who has the ability to enter your nightmares, or what he calls mare space, and kill your nightmares. It's a 5-part series, and it is fantastic. I'm really excited. It's just a great little story. I sent you all advanced copies, and hopefully
I've read it, and I agree it is tremendous.
Yeah, it's really, really good. I especially love the art and color is insane. I knew you were doing the art, but I did not know this color was going on board. And my gosh, dude, he's
something else. He came on. I was actually slated to color the whole book, but then I just got busy doing some other things, and then Mikey was going to color. Mikey is an incredible, talented person, by the way.
Yeah.
And so he actually did the colors for the cover of the book. Mm-hmm. And so I ended up doing flats, and I'm like, well, man, if we want this book to come out in time, we need to bring a colorist on. I just happened to know Tim. I wanted to work with him for a while and brought him on, and he knocked it out of the park. Amazing. So we just put it up for pre-order yesterday at Amazon. The actual hard release date is October 29th, which actually happens to be my birthday, which is pretty exciting.
Happy birthday.
We put it up yesterday, and today we are number one in comics, graphic novels, fantasy, that category. Ooh. Category, number two in horror. By the way, in fantasy, we beat out George R. R. Martin and the Dresden Files, which is
nice.
Pretty
nice. Jeez, those are no slouches there.
No kidding.
Yeah.
By the way, George R. R. Martin and the Dresden Files is the new slash pick I'm working on.
Which will soon be number one in front of Exterminite.
Yeah, it'll be number one in front of Exterminite.
Yeah.
And just in general, in the top 100 comics at Amazon, this is books, just comics. So we're going up against IDW, Marvel, DC. We're number 75, so we cracked the top 100.
That's awesome, dude.
So so we're really excited about it. This is a pre-order, by the way. It's not even out, so that was pretty exciting for us to see. If you go to, I think you'll have the link for, it's at dailytechnewsshow.com.
Yeah,
you have the first five. Right, yeah, we have the first five pages you can look at and the pre-order link. So by all means, check it out.
Yeah. Check our Twitter account later. We'll put it out on there. Follow Len Peralta at Len Peralta on Twitter. He'll be constantly linking to it. So you'll definitely want to check that out. It's really awesome. People should be looking at this thing.
Thank you so much. Yeah. I'm really excited about it.
It's very cool. Now, there's another project going on that I happen to be doing with one John Kovalik, a Slavic native who's here on the show with us now. Welcome to the show, John. No, John and I... got this cool opportunity to make a couple of pint glasses for you beer lovers out there.
Nice.
And they're Star Wars themed. His is specifically Akbar themed. Mine is a trooper theme. And they're up and available on the Frog Pants store like right now. Now, some at home are going, now wait, what are these like? And we would say, hey, if you remember back when we did the Current Geek ones, and it was the Wookiee riding the little rocking horse thing, that is the style of glass you're looking at. And if you remember, those are super awesome. In fact, here's mine, chat room. You can see it. Hold mine here with the Wookiee on the front. They're going to have these two labels. You can get them as a set or individually or print versions of the art that we did. And it was so much fun collaborating and doing that together. I was super stoked to do that, John.
It was a lot of fun. In fact, I'm here drinking a pumpkin Southern Tier ale, wishing I had these pint glasses because this ale would taste so much more delicious.
Yeah.
Pumpkin spices would be that much more pumpkiny.
And spicier,
right? We're in a trooper ale.
It was honestly, it was fantastic. Yeah. And you know, working with you and working with David, getting this stuff, David and Michael all pulled together was amazing.
Yeah.
And they look great. And I was just amazed. The whole crew you've got there does fantastic work.
Yeah, we've got a pretty good system for pumping out cool products like this. And so here's my suggestion. You go get a couple of those. They're cheap. You go over there to frogpants.com/store. They're right up front. Grab one of those. Grab two of those, whatever you want. Go get Len's comic. Pre-order it on Amazon. When that thing arrives, that'll be about the time the comic comes out after the pre-order. Sit down in a nice lazy boy and read your night away with a big tall glass of Halloween ale and freaking read a comic book. What a great way to waste
Admiral
your 29th.
Admiral Ackbeer.
Admiral Ackbeer, correct. My
trapped.
I love that project because it just came out of out of thin air. It's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that John and Scott are working on something together. And it's so cool. So that was what was so great about that project.
Well, we've been working for a while to think of something, and it was nice to finally have something come up. And hopefully we'll get to do some future stuff as well, and even some things with Lynn. But there's nothing funner than collaborating with like artist friends.
Absolutely.
And, yeah, this was a real cool opportunity to do that. So anyway, it's a great way to support us and support people who make creative things, both these projects. So do that, support them. And
to drink beer. Yeah. It's a great way to drink beer.
Right? I mean, Tom, you know. I mean, you drink a lot of beer. I mean,
I'm ordering them. Sorry, I'm busy.
Oh, he's busy getting these glasses coming. So there's that. All right, that's going to do it for the show. You guys were awesome guests. You're on the list to come back now because you were great. I hope you don't mind.
I had a blast.
Lynn Peralta, where else can people find you? What's going on? What's the best place to find more about Lynn?
Well, the best place to find me is online. Just search LynnPeralta.com. I've just updated my website. You'll see all the projects I'm working on. Exterminite, Superpowered Revenge Christmas, 10 State with Tom Merritt, all kinds of cool stuff. Also, working on a new podcast that just launched last week at tested.com called Creature Geek.
Oh, I heard about this. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm doing that with Frank Ippolito. It is a show about special effects and makeup from a fan and pro perspective. We just recorded the first whole full season, the full first season these past 3 weeks. They're incredible. And I can't wait for you guys to hear him.
No, he's talented as hell. If anybody, and we talked about it on the show once, I think it's a news thing, but he's the one that's responsible for that Zoidberg
mask. And he's doing some really awesome stuff coming up. I can't really talk about anything he's working on, but trust me, you're going to see his name a lot in the future.
Yeah, that guy is great. And I was talking to Will Smith about it. It just sounds awesome. So really excited for you guys. I totally forgot to pimp that earlier. I meant to. So congrats on that. John, where can people find you and more of you?
Darktower.com is pretty much the place for all things Kavalik at the moment. Worldofmunchkin.com to keep up on Munchkin. Munchkin Treasure Hunt just got into Toys R Us, so this is Munchkin for 6-year-olds, and my daughter loves it, which is nice. She's stabbing her buddies as we speak. She's not, in fact. There's no stabbing of buddies. There's a new game coming out. I actually have got like 8 games coming out between now and January.
That's amazing.
But the one I'm really excited about is this game called Double Feature, which is the best movie game I've ever played. And it's I'm hoping, knock on wood, this game is going to do for movie games what Apples to Apples did for party games. I just love this game so much. And you don't have to be a movie expert to play it. You just need to know the movies you enjoy.
Wow. When's it coming out?
January from Renegade Studios.
That sounds awesome.
It's a spinoff of Cryptozoic.
Oh, cool. No, I heard about those guys. No, that's great. That's cool. That's very cool. Speaking of which, is it them? No, I guess we have an interview coming up with Cryptozoic, but I was thinking it was maybe, I forget now. There's something else going on with movies that I got to get my head around. Anyway, all very exciting stuff. And of course, Muskrat. What is it? Muskrat. What is your Twitter account?
Muskrat underscore John
underscore. It's always the underscores that throw me.
It's the underscore. It's yeah. I'm not good at choosing these things.
That's all right. Speaking of which, Ace Detect.
Yeah,
Tom Merritt over there with the weird Ace Detect. No, Tom, anything else going on before we cut out
just
here?
Just a quick reminder for folks, if they don't know, most of you probably do. Veronica Belmont and I host a science fiction and fantasy podcast, and also it is tied into the largest science fiction and fantasy book club on Goodreads. So if you're into science fiction and fantasy and you're looking for some ideas for something to read, go check out swordandlaser.com. We're doing a lot more author interviews these days. We talked about Neil Gaiman's illustrated book where Snow White kisses Sleeping Beauty on the most recent episode. So go check it out, swordandlaser.com.
Hubba, nice. Ooh, you got me interested now. All right, well, great. That's going to do it for us, everybody. Thank you for being here. Andrew Allen does our music. He does our theme music is what I meant to say. He doesn't do our voice at all. I don't sound a thing like him. We're at Current Geek, at Scott Johnson, at Ace Detect. You can find us online at currentgeek.com. Email us, currentgeek@gmail.com, and on Reddit, currentgeek.reddit.com. It's going to do it for us. We'll see you guys next week.
Hi, and welcome back to Leaker Geek. This week, we answer a listener question about whether new smartwatches like Apple Watch and Google Wear will violate traffic laws regulating video screens in vehicles. Listener James T. on Twitter asked whether the new smartwatches will violate second monitor laws like California's Vehicle Code Section 27602. Let's take a look at this specific law and then the ramifications across the country. The California law prohibits operation of a motor vehicle if a television receiver, video monitor, or any other similar means is operating and located in the motor vehicle in front of the back side of the driver's seat. Exceptions to this rule include vehicle information displays, GPS displays, and equipment that has an interlock device or is otherwise configured to disable the video screen during operation of the vehicle. When parsing this law, the initial question is whether a smartwatch will be considered a means similar to a TV receiver for displaying a video signal for entertainment or business applications. Considering smartphones and similar devices have been interpreted as covered by these types of laws, the answer is most likely yes. Indeed, this California code section made national news a year ago for generating the first traffic violation tickets to people wearing Google Glass while driving. The second question is whether smartwatches fall into any of the exceptions to the rule. The key question will be whether the smartwatch is configured to disable all use except for mapping and GPS during operation of a vehicle. At this point, there's no indication that this will be the case, which means that wearing smartwatches likely violates this traffic law. Just like with Google Glass, this isn't exactly what the law was written to cover. The law always takes a while to catch up to new technologies. The bottom line is, smartwatches could lead to traffic ticket violations under California Code 27602. Many states have similar laws outlawing use of non-hands-free cell phones or television and video monitors. So while each state law is different and would require different analysis, the previous discussion of the California law likely applies equally in many states. So if you get pulled over, you may want to hide the smartwatch and cell phone. Thanks for listening. Please provide feedback and legal-themed questions as segment suggestions to me on Twitter at BuckeyeFitzy.
Hi, I'm Jeannie, and we're exploring some of the history of Westeros in Game of Thrones. The Wildlings are the people who live beyond the northern border of the Seven Kingdoms. They refer to themselves as the Free Folk. Along with the inhabitants of the north, the Free Folk are descendants of the First Men. They were literally on the wrong side of the wall when it was built. As such, they have been cut off from the influence of the South and remain closest in lifestyle to the First Men. They consist of various unruly tribes and village dwellers. All of them have different cultures, practices, and languages. Some are very refined, while others are almost savage. They continue to worship the old gods along with those of the North. However, beyond the wall, these are the only gods that are worshipped. They do not bury their dead, they burn them. The reasons behind this are not religious. Instead, it's to prevent the White Walkers from raising their dead against them. They don't recognize a hereditary class of nobility or hierarchy. Their greatest pride is their free status. They will only follow leaders they deem worthy of leading. Occasionally, the king beyond the wall appears among them. He is a king in name only. They follow him because they believe in him, not because of who his father was. Unfortunately, the flip side to this, they are not organized with any lasting cohesion. They have no enforced laws, and a man keeps what he can take. The women are called spear wives and are fierce warriors who are equally involved in raiding expeditions. When a man wants a wife, he must kidnap her, and the woman must fight back. As a rule, they do not kidnap married women. If a man succeeds, it shows he is strong, brave, and cunning. The traits wildling women seek out among their men. During the War of the Five Kings, there are 90 different clans and tribes. You can reach me with any questions or requests about the people and places in Westeros at TyriansLanding.com or TyriansLanding on Gmail and Twitter. The music used is by Kevin MacLeod.
Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.